Today is a special day, as Ryan talked about before. We take one Sunday, usually in June, to celebrate the ways that God is working in our city and around the world outside of the walls of 2 DeBrosa Street on Sunday mornings, and he's doing a lot of incredible things. Scripture is very clear that God expects us to take the resources we have and treat it like seed money to go out into the world and do the right thing and to pursue justice and mercy and defend those who society tends to marginalize and neglect. So this morning we get to meet people who have answered the call to do that vocationally. Not all of us here have heard that call, or we may have heard the call and not yet responded to it. And so we all look to these people this morning to show us what it looks like to go out and every single day do the right thing in the way that Scripture tells us to do. So those of you who have been around LMCC for at least the last 7 months or so know that each year in November, around just leading up to Thanksgiving, we take a few weeks to look at the spiritual discipline of giving. And that's a little heads up to those of you who want to mark your calendars to skip church those weeks next year. But we do talk about giving as we look towards Thanksgiving. And then at Thanksgiving, we take a one-time, one-day offering where the people of LMCC practice this spiritual discipline of giving. And this year, God did something especially crazy and moved the people in this congregation to give over $1 million for God to do with what he would in our church and outside of this church. It's also our practice to take a third of whatever the people in our church give at that Thanksgiving offering, which is over and above their regular giving each week. We take a third of that and we turn around and give it away to organizations who are doing these things that Scripture tells us to do, that our church doesn't have the infrastructure to do ourselves. So we ride their coattails and in this very small way try to get a glimpse of what that looks like. And so this morning we're going to meet some of those people and they'll tell us about the work they do. We had, because the church was so generous this year, we had a meaningful sum that we needed to turn around and give away. So we had to call in the big guns and perform and convene a committee of people to help us discern what to do with these funds. And these folks are an incredible group. Their professional backgrounds include everything from not-for-profit work. They do grant writing. They do grant distributions. They work in ministry. They work in law. They work in finance. These are folks who spend a lot of time thinking about this concept that we're talking about today of seed money, God's seed money. And so these folks met regularly. They prayed all the time. They did site visits to these organizations that you'll hear from. They met the leadership of these organizations, the clients of these organizations, and really thought a lot about the right way to distribute this money. And I want to just recognize some of them, all of them, some of them who are here this morning. One is Nick Shirazi, who's our youth minister, who just took off downstairs with the youth to minister to them. Rebecca Iwerks, who's here this morning. Jason Lee, who's here this morning. Matt Scogan and Jasmine Woods. I want to say a heartfelt, yeah, thank you. They definitely are probably mortified by applause, but we do, it's such a special privilege to work with this committed group of folks. So when our committee is thinking about what to do with these funds, we try to look at a lot of different things. We struggle the most with what's the criteria, how do we sort of set up the guidelines of the way to think about this. So we go to Scripture for our guidance, and we look at what does Scripture specifically tell us we're supposed to be doing. We need to be finding organizations that are spreading the gospel here in New York and across the world. We need to be finding organizations who are feeding the hungry. We need to be finding organizations who are serving the vulnerable and the marginalized. And so those are the types of organizations that we're looking for. And then we look at things like, well, some of these organizations are big and they've been around a while and they have an established donor base and following. So we look for those because we know that they've got a long future ahead of them and we want to be a part of the things that they're doing. But beyond that, we look for opportunities to partner with them in more than financial ways. So some of the organizations you'll hear from this morning, the people here in this church, they volunteer with them. They serve on their boards of trustees or directors. They deliver food for them. There's all kinds of things that you'll hear about in all sorts of ways that the people in this church get involved with these organizations. And so I encourage you to think about the same thing this morning. How do you want to get involved with the work that these folks are doing? We also, this year in particular, last year was our first year to establish what we call our Innovation Fund. So we look at organizations that are thinking about old problems in new ways. And Jason Lee has taken the lead on that and is running that initiative for us, the Innovation Fund. So you'll hear from some folks that are doing some crazy cool things about some really old problems that have been around since the beginning of time. So you'll hear about innovation. And so I'm going to quit talking because really you want to hear from the people who are actually doing the work. So if I could, let me ask the folks who are here, the representatives from all these organizations, to come up and stand up. Don't be shy. This is why you're here. Come on up. And I'm just going to pass the microphone down the row and let them each introduce themselves, tell you who they are and what their organization does. And at the end, we're going to hear from a client of one of these organizations who is going to tell you about his experience in the program there and the things that he's doing. So please welcome all these folks. Give a warm LNCC welcome to this one. Rich, come over here. I think you're between, yeah, there we go. We just want to make sure the names on the wall match the names of the people.
Good morning, I'm Marion Hutchins. I'm from the Father's Heart Ministries. And the Father's Heart Ministries was originally conceived by pastors and missionaries, a group of pastors and missionaries who were looking to create a Christian response to the challenge of urban poverty, substance abuse, and joblessness. And so our programs are designed to meet the immediate needs of our guests, which is hunger. We have a soup kitchen and a food pantry, and everyone that comes in, 100% get a free meal and a free pantry bag. And so it's a wonderful soup kitchen and food pantry, but we also, part of our mission is to break the cycle of poverty and dependence. And so our programs are designed to do that. We have adult education programs twice a week. We have classes helping them get their GED, their high school diplomas, helping them with English. And we also have job training programs. We have men that are homeless and jobless that come in during the week and are trained to have the lives restored and be employed. And we also have a teen program, a teen mentoring and job program. Our teenagers are employed in our ice cream store. So they have job training and they get employed. They learn to make ice cream. They learn to sell ice cream. They learn to eat ice cream. No, I was wondering if you were paying attention. No, we don't have to teach them that. We have a wonderful time. Our main goal, and we're happy to do all these things, we always are looking to bring them to know Christ because only he can take them further than we ever could. And so we want to thank you for helping us do that, for investing on behalf of our guests. Thank you for investing in their lives. For many people who have had multiple challenges, disappointments, and hardships, and thank you for helping us give them hope and mercy and compassion. God bless you. I thank you from the Father's heart with all of our heart.
Hi, my name is Robert Lee. I'm one of the co-founders of Rescuing Leftover Cuisine. Really long, complicated name, but we try to be as self-explanatory as possible. We rescue leftover cuisine, and we take leftover food that would normally be thrown out from food vendors like restaurants and catering companies, and we bring it to the people who need it at homeless shelters, soup kitchens, food pantries, and food banks. You may not know this, but 40% of the food that we produce in this country is wasted, and all we need to do is take one-third of that, and that's enough nutrition to eliminate hunger in the U.S. So we actually produce enough food in this country to feed everyone, We just needed to get it to the right people. And so we at Rescuing Leftover Cuisine created a web application that allows for the public, for the community, to come together and bring the food through whatever means and methods you have, whether it's on your own 2 feet, bikes, cars, and bring it to the people who need it through this web application. So we have about 3,000 volunteers who have been able to rescue over 450,000 pounds of food so far, and we really appreciate your efforts and your generosity in helping us achieve what we have achieved so far. Thank you.
My name is Craig Mays. I'm the CEO of New York City Rescue Mission. I'm going to take part of my 90 seconds to actually tell you how this works. Since Robert's been working with us, we've received over 50 tons of food that would have been thrown away that's feeding the people that come to our mission. So way to go, and it's great standing next to you up here. We don't get to see each other very often. So, we are America's oldest and first rescue mission, and I had the privilege this week of being in Florida. An association of 300 missions that all trace their heritage back here to New York and what Jerry McCauley started in 1872. We serve three populations, the working poor. We serve men that are in a residential recovery program, homeless, overcoming addictions, and then we serve emergency shelter every night. And I want to tell you what I know about LMCC. We came last year with our hands out asking to help us. One of my visions when I came 4 years ago was we don't do any case management for the men and women that come into our shelter just for one night at a time. And so we were able last year, based on your grant to us, to hire someone. And I can tell you that 100% of the women, that's mainly where she's focusing, have been referred to other resources that will help them get out of homelessness. These are not our residential program women. These are women that are coming in for shelter. So you, what you did last year has had huge impact already. So this year we came with our hands out saying, we'd like to minister to the larger population, 170 men and women every night that come one night at a time, that we feed, we shelter, to give counsel to them. And so we asked for help to hire actually kind of a pastor, a chaplain of the homeless, and that we knew you were going to give it to us, so we already hired him. So, and if not, I would have gone and find the money somewhere else. But last thing I want to say. So I've had the privilege of preaching here a couple times and doing a retreat for all of you, and it's kind of my second church. And when I think of you, I think of this passage. And Jeremiah, he's talking about one of the kings that was a good king, and this is what it says about him. He defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well. And then listen to this question. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? To know God is to care for the poor and needy. And look at this group up here. For all of us, we say thank you because you're doing that and you're putting that into practice. So we know that you know God.
So I just noticed I don't have a sticker. And I feel a little left out. My name's there, though, so we're okay. There we go. Thank you. Pa'lante, siempre pa'lante. My name is Rich Rivera. I'm a church plant in the South Bronx Restoration Community Church. I know a lot of you guys. Basically, this is the deal. We love Jesus. We love his people. And it breaks my heart that one of the poorest urban areas in all the country is a few train stops in either direction from some of the wealthiest. So why in the world that makes sense in the economy of the gospel, of God's grace, makes no sense. So what you guys have done, LMCC, is come alongside the work that we're doing. And for that, we love you. We thank you, and we pray that more folks would follow your lead.
Hello, my name is Risa Storms, and I work with Orchard Group, which is a church planting organization that has been based in New York City since 1948. Since 1948, Orchard Group has been helping new churches get started in New York City and now even beyond. And the reason we are so passionate, well, you can see why we're passionate about new churches getting started. There was a time when Lower Manhattan was a new church. New churches are one of the best ways to reach new people with the gospel. And so what we do is we are bringing together the planter and the place and the partners to be able to create thriving communities. communities that do God's work just like this. And I should say, you guys helped us over the last couple of years. You have been partners of two churches that are now meeting and starting. One in Harlem, Renaissance Church in Harlem, and one in Bed-Stuy, Epiphany Church in Bed-Stuy. Both, you are partners on both of those churches. So if you imagine the beautiful things that are happening here right now, that is also being multiplied in other neighborhoods throughout the city. May it continue. May we see many more. Thank you for your generosity.
I'm Janelle Decker. I'm here representing Shalom Reconciliation Ministries. So Shalom is an organization based in Kotito, which is a small town in the northeastern corner of Uganda. So they work directly with youth that are in the area there. And it started back in 2005 just by handing out food and providing shelter for youth that needed it. And since then, it has just exploded and expanded to offer so much more. So some of that is they really look at what the youth need on kind of a case-by-case basis. So they talk to the youth individually and figure out what ways we can best support them. So some of that is very tangible, like providing food and shelter and school fees and offering sponsorship to allow kids to be able to go to school, which in a community that sees education as a very low priority is a really big deal. So right now there are 20 kids living in the Shalom Center, and we are sponsoring 47 kids to be able to go to school. But we also look at the intangible needs that are a little less concrete. So we also offer like counseling on a family or individual basis. Leadership training. We also do discipleship is a very big one as well. So just, again, trying to figure out what ways that we can best fill those gaps where there are no programs or support for youth in those areas. So we are currently serving 175 kids right now directly, and we depend on partnerships like LMCC to be able to do that. So, and speaking of partnerships with LMCC, we actually have a group right now. Well, I guess they're not in Uganda right now. They're on a plane back. But we have our group, our LMCC crew. You might recognize a few faces in there. The one face that is also there that's not in this photo is Mike Barbie, who I'm assuming he's the one taking the photo, which is why he's not there. But so they were in Uganda for about 10 days this past week and just kind of visiting the ministry. The person in the middle there is Rainbow Mike Okito, and he is the one that started this whole thing. He grew up in the town of Kotito and was the one behind all of this. So we're just here to kind of support him and his ministry and his vision.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Slocum. I'm the Executive Director of Open Hands Legal Services, and our mission is to uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed in New York City, and our vision is to see all lives transformed through the power of hope and justice. So how do we do this? We do this through providing free legal services to the poor throughout New York City. We believe that the law is one of the most powerful anti-poverty tools out there, and so we provide free civil legal services to people to help them, prevent them from being evicted from their homes, to help them have access to food through getting their food stamps back, to help them have their families joined together when they're facing custody issues or child support issues. So we try to meet all of these basic needs and really, you know, remove the barriers that many low-income people face so that they can flourish and be the whole person that God intended them to be. And we are so grateful for the huge number of volunteers we have. We serve about 600 clients a year now, and we do this mainly through a large volunteer staff. We only have about five office staff total. We're very bare bones, and we train hundreds of volunteer attorneys throughout New York City. So we feel so blessed to have incredible experts in the law here in New York City who have the heart and who are dedicated to upholding the cause of the poor and oppressed and using their amazing skills really to seek justice here. We were founded by a small group of attorneys, some of whom are here with me today in the audience, who wanted to do this, who wanted to go and serve, you know, the homeless and serve at soup kitchens and see what they could do to help out. And so what I love about Open Hands is that we don't wait for our clients to come to us, to our offices. We go out into the community to be with them, to meet them. So we're at Father's Heart Ministry once a month in the soup kitchen, and we set up our legal aid desk there, and we have volunteers meeting with clients and helping them with their immediate needs. We're out on the street in East Harlem on Saturday mornings with the relief bus, which is basically a law office on a bus and other, you know, legal other offices on two renovated school buses, and we're there helping people really address their immediate needs. So I feel so privileged to be a part of this organization, and I'm so grateful for the incredible support that we've received from Lower Manhattan Community Church that enables us to continue to do our work. So I hope that you'll consider partnering with us too in ways that are just beyond financially partnering with us, because we have so many openings for volunteers, from legal needs to, we also really welcome non-lawyer volunteers. We definitely need their help, from organizing to taking notes to translating to helping us lawyers obtain social skills, because we are about relating to our clients, and we have a very relational model with our clients and with each other. So we want to work together and partner with all of you in seeing our city really transformed. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Suzanne Metaxas, and I'm the president of Avail NYC, a pregnancy care network located in Bryant Park near Times Square. We help women that are facing unexpected pregnancy with practical resources and compassionate care, and we also help women that are experiencing and need healing after an abortion. So we're sitting here in Tribeca at zip code 10013, and approximately 17% of all viable pregnancies in this zip code end in abortion. But in other zip codes around the city, sometimes the number is over 50% of all viable pregnancies. Abortion, New York City has one of the highest abortion rates in the country, almost twice the national average, about 69,000 abortions a year. Most New Yorkers are facing an unexpected pregnancy, feel that abortion is their only choice. And we exist to say abortion isn't your only choice. We are there for you, and we'll support you every step of the way. Our model of care is defined by love, listening, compassion, and respect. We have three lines of service. We also offer pregnancy counsel and decision-making decision. We also offer pregnancy support for those who decide to carry their babies to term. And we also have after-abortion counseling. We have 10 staff, and we operate, but we wouldn't exist without our 50 to 60 volunteers. So we welcome for you to come visit our center in Midtown, and if you're interested in volunteering, that would be great news to us. So thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Michaela McElnay, and I am the program director at CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates in New York City. CASA is a volunteer-based nonprofit that provides one-on-one advocacy for children in the New York City foster care system. CASA's mission is to protect the needs and well-being of children while they are in the foster care system, and to try to ensure that they are placed in safe, permanent homes as quickly as possible. CASA has a staff of social workers and attorneys who recruit, train, and closely supervise wonderful volunteer advocates who are then assigned by family court judges in the family court to remove barriers to permanency so that children don't spend needlessly long amounts of time in foster care and to ensure that they receive the services that they need to thrive. And we want to thank LMCC for your support in this wonderful work. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jimmy with Restore. What Restore does, I always say, is very straightforward and very hard. We find victims of sex trafficking here in our city, and we help them. When Carol was talking about the Innovation Fund, it really resonated with me because I do not call sex trafficking an issue, because we tend to come around and talk about issues. Sex trafficking is a problem because we tend to come around and solve problems. You know, one area that we're really focusing on is all these women that are trafficked through illicit massage businesses, and they're just everywhere in our city. For every Starbucks in New York, there are 4 illicit massage businesses. And you will probably walk past a couple Starbucks today. 2 years ago, we had 212 referrals. Last year, 456. This year, we're on track for 700. Many of these women, vulnerable foreign women, trafficked through these illicit massage businesses. And with your help, we really, truly believe we're going to solve this. So LMCC, to me, is not only a partner, not only a supporter, but a problem solver, helping us solve this problem. And so I am very grateful to be here today again.
Hi, family. My name is Sarah Ahn, and I've been attending this church for a couple of years now. And after some really challenging and painful life experiences in the dance world, I ended up founding the Healing Movement. The Healing Movement, I founded this in 2014, so it's a baby. And we work to sustain and empower hip-hop and street dance artists to use their gift and their story to foster healing and recovery in rising communities. So we believe that hip-hop is a universal language that unites people and gives voice to especially the oppressed and the overlooked. We have experienced that ourselves, and one of the main populations that we've been working with currently are women, and breaking is one of the forms of hip-hop dance. It's a male-dominated art form, so we've been working with women who always wanted to learn it, and just being able to find their voice within this little microcosm of a larger society. And we also start, we do it through dance instruction, we do it through story sharing, spoken word poetry, and creating performances with messages of hope. There's also opportunities that we're connected to mentors in entrepreneurship to be able to help build streams of income and be able to sustain ourselves so that we can use our gifts fully as opposed to being all over the place like a lot of artists like ourselves are. So thanks to your support, as we've been growing in this, we ended up noticing that some of our students, as they were physically moving and story sharing and some even teaching, began to have trauma starting to be released again. And people started to disclose abuse to us. And now with your support this year, we're able to partner with Project Envision, who is working to prevent and fight against gender oppression and sexual violence. And now they're going to provide training for the teaching artists, as well as we want to open it up to the community. That was a goal, to be able to provide a free training for teaching artists to be prepared and equipped to handle response to disclosure, how to create safer spaces where people don't feel like they have to disclose, and how can we refer them to the appropriate places, and how can we be self-aware in the way that we foster a place of healing that is truly safe, and as at the same time empowering them to bring out their voice, to share their story when they're ready, and in the way that they feel most comfortable. So then that will inspire another person to share their story and to share their story and to share their story and no longer be silenced, whether that be through the spoken word or hip-hop dance. So I just want to share maybe a little excerpt of a quick poem that I wrote as a part of my story. I think I've tasted and seen my higher calling, learned my purpose in the last traumatic falling out. Because refiner's fire molds clay from gritty mire, sparkles crystal clear what my life would now be about. So I set out to the oppressed, the emotionally, the physically, the brainwashed, the confused, bearing my soul broken with the broken abused, healing mind, body, strength, soul, hip-hop, dance, flow, the word inspired, so the pieces fused. This vessel ain't a can, can't be recycled, reduced to reuse. Burn yesterday's garbage, cling wrap truth, ashes bear beauty and resurrection, loves, we're renewed. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. I am Allie Oliver. My husband is the founder of Do For One, and I'm here representing him. He's leading worship at our church this morning. This is my second time with a microphone in my hand, so bear with me. Do For One fosters and supports relationships between people with and without disability, instilling dignity and hope in people's lives. My husband, Andrew, always says we're like a matchmaking program, just non-romantic. Our motto is an Andy Stanley quote, "Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone." There are very few ministries and churches that reach our neighbors and our friends with disabilities. In New York City, there's over 500,000 people with disabilities. That's a lot of people. And we are so thankful for LMCC support. We could not do this without the support of others. And actually, my pastor Drew is over there. We couldn't do this without the support of other people, whether it's volunteering or financially supporting or just guiding us along the way. I'm just going to share a little story with y'all. Cornell is someone who started coming into our community events and made friendships with church members. He later decided to get baptized on Easter Sunday. His sister was moved and came to the service to tell Cornell's story publicly. He now finds a place of belonging at our Hope Church in Midtown. The word is getting out, and there are already six more churches we are in conversation with about partnering. And because of who we are reaching and our unique approach, we are being featured in a Johnny and Friends article. And Johnny and Friends is another disability ministry giving us nationwide recognition. Throughout this first year, we've learned that the most effective way to move forward is by three different ways. The first one is education, the second is community gatherings, and the third is matching and supporting advocacy relationships for people that want to connect. So thank you all so much for your support and just helping enabling us to do the work that we're doing throughout New York City.
Hi, my name is Carlos Marte, and I'm the founder and CEO of Combody, and I'm here representing Defy Ventures. If you don't know what Defy Ventures is, Defy Ventures is a program which takes illegal entrepreneurs, formerly incarcerated people, to transform their skills and become legal entrepreneurs. I was one of the people that attended the program, and I'm just here showing gratitude from LMCC for all the, you know, the funds they've given to Defy Ventures and what they've have been doing with the program. So what the program did with that fund basically gives it out to these pitch competitions. They're like Shark Tank pitch competitions. You win up to about 10 grand in those competitions. And I actually won one of these competitions a couple years ago. I attended the program in 2014, and I graduated, and I created Combody. So what Combody is a gym, is an actual gym that's in the Lower East Side, where we hire formerly incarcerated individuals to teach our fitness classes. So right now, we are working directly with Rikers Island, and we already have 10 people on our staff. Eight who've been formerly incarcerated, and we're trying to create a movement to take this recidivism problem across the country and re-help the unfortunate people that are coming home looking for employment opportunities. But I came about this whole program and this whole idea of my company through a spiritual awakening that I had while I was in prison, and and it's because of God and people like yourselves that this whole thing exists. Towards the end of my incarceration, I was faced with an altercation with a correctional officer. I was about to be released within 2 months of my prison sentence, and an officer placed his hands on me, and I was sent to the box. We got into a little scuffle. And the box, if you don't know what the box is solitary confinement, 24-hour lockdown, limited food, 2 showers a week, probably the dirtiest place you'll ever see. I was in this cell for 30 days, 24 hours, and I was devastated because of this situation. I was facing 3 more years in prison. My family was waiting for me to come home soon, and all I had in my cell was paper, pen, an envelope, and a Bible. A Bible that I never picked up, never believed in God, had it as basically a good luck charm in the corner of my cell the whole time I was in prison. And later on, I sat down in this little desk that I was in my little prison cell, and I began writing this letter telling my family I'm not coming home. I messed up my whole life again. I've been in and out of jail since I was 13. At this point, I was already 26, 25. And I told them, you know, everything that was happening, playing the victim, you know, the officers and this and that, whatever. And I closed this letter in this envelope, and the problem was I didn't have a stamp to send out this letter with. So I was even more devastated. I was cursing myself, cursing God, cursing anybody around me. I couldn't speak to anybody. I was there by myself. And my sister, who's like Mother Teresa's child, writes me, and she tells me to read Psalm 91 from the Bible. I read that letter, and I threw it in the corner myself, and I was like, this is not going to help me. This is stupid, you know, whatever. But after sitting in 24-hour lockdown, nothing to do, all I had was my Bible. A week later, I decided to pick up my Bible. I turned to the pages that she told me to turn to in Psalm 91, and as soon as I began reading it, a stamp fell out of my Bible. And it was the stamp that I needed to send out this letter with. This, till today, every time I tell this story, chills and goosebumps run through my body. And I felt like that was a vision that God has given me, a miracle. I don't know what you could call it, but it really woke me up. And I began reading the Bible from front to back. And then I started realizing what I was really doing was wrong. Because when I was growing up and seeing the guys on the corner, I grew up in the Lower East Side. And in the 80s and 90s, when you see everybody, it was just a really bad neighborhood. And that's what I looked up to. My family came from the Dominican Republic, really poor, trying to make it. And when people would ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would tell them I want to be rich. But at this point in this prison cell, I began reading the Bible, and I started realizing that what I was doing was really wrong. And I was asking God, you know, how can I pay back all the damages that I've caused to other people? In 2009, I was arrested for running one of the largest drug delivery services in New York City. I was making over $2 million a year by the age of 19 and had over 20 people working for me. So I felt like I messed up so many people's lives, and then I realized that they had families, and then my son, who's in downstairs, those stories and those experiences, I just started thinking about that and asking God, how can I give back? How can I repay back to society? And I came up with Khanbody with the help of Defy Ventures, where we hire these guys coming straight out of prison. And it was all based on my experience in prison, where I lost 70 pounds in 6 months in a 9x6 prison cell after doctors told me I could die in prison because of my health issues. And that's where I began helping over 20 guys lose over 1,000 pounds combined. So I came home, and just through doing the right thing and leading the righteous path, I bumped into Defy Ventures, and Defy Ventures brought me back to life and taught me that I have these skills in me to start up my own company, all I have to do is just transfer them. And they helped me build my business plan. And I'm not the only company that came out of that program. It's been hundreds of companies now, and it's just been an amazing experience. I got the trust of my family back, which was a huge ordeal for me, because going in and out of jail, they thought I was going back as soon as I came out. And this program helped me prove to them that this was really the last time that I was going back in. And I came home and started doing this boot camp and everything, and I felt like God had just given me the righteous path and the path to re-succeed in this program. Today, we have our first gym. We have 10 employees, and we've had over 6,000 people come through our program. We've raised over almost $200,000. We're on track to hitting 300 grand this year and opening up our second location in Brooklyn. And if you want to get involved, I know we didn't go to the last slide, the next slide, but this is our schedule. So if you want to get your prison body, come check out Calm Body. We're open 7 days a week. Things are being run right now. Anyway, and then if you want to get involved, next slide. With the five ventures, that's Catherine's Hoke. Catherine Hoke is the founder of the five ventures, and that's her email. You can email her directly, and she'll get one of her team or her to respond as quickly as possible. And it's not only about financing the whole program, and they need a lot of financing, but what I've gained the most out of the program is the mentorships that I've gained. I came out from a flip phone to a touchscreen, everything, and it was just a whole new world. It was like Flintstones meeting the Jetsons. So seriously, it was just crazy, smack in the face. But it was when I came home, it felt like the system was setting me up for failure because I didn't know any of this while I was inside. So what the program now does, they help people with mentorships. I actually had like a social media mentor who coach me on, I think it's funny, but I didn't know nothing about Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and without that, I didn't even know how to conduct an email or send a Google Calendar invite. Like, these little things that you need to run a business is really extremely important. So if you want to get involved, hit up the Five Ventures, and I really appreciate everybody in this congregation. Thank you.
All right, let's thank all these incredible people. Y'all can have a seat. You've been standing too long. So y'all can see I have the best job in the whole wide world. Our hope for you this morning is three parts. One is that you will see how God has taken your faithfulness in this church and multiplied it out in New York City and around the world. Secondly, that each of us in this room will be convicted that we are all called to pursue justice and mercy in this life and to prepare this world for the new kingdom. Our sort of unofficial inspiration this year on the committee came from a sermon that Ryan preached several weeks ago about heaven. And this is our third hope for this morning, is that we would leave here having seen a glimpse of the new kingdom that's described to us in Revelation 21, which I'll read here. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." So all these people that you heard from this morning are out drying tears, and we love them for that, and we appreciate you for the work that you're doing. Thank you. All right, will you all just join me as we close in prayer this morning? God, we thank you for these people who have answered your call and who every single day are using their time in this world to pursue justice and mercy, to do the right thing. And we ask that you would empower them to break through the darkness in this world, God, that most days seems impossible and seems too big. We ask that you would remind us, God, that you also hate hunger and poverty and sorrow and abuse, and that you've already done something about that. So we ask that you would convict each of us to come alongside these folks, support them as they do their work, participate as they do their work, God. We ask that you would forgive us when we turn our eyes and when we claim to have faith, but we don't take action. We pray this morning that we would be changed by the things that we've seen and heard, and that you would be glorified because of it. And all these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.